After a difficult game week, FPL Pod is here to help you steady the ship. We discuss navigating the North London derby, whether it's time to go cold on Chile and Chelsea, and why now might be the time to maybe lean towards someone at Luton. This is your podcast host, and before listening, I'd like to warn everyone that this pod does contain one extremely annoying, gloating Frenchman. We apologise in advance for any offence or irritation caused, and we assure you, we feel your pain. Hello, annoying Frenchman. Why are you so annoying this week?
Hi, Kelly. Hi, everyone. I don't know why you're saying that. I mean, it was a really good weekend for me, 53 points. I'm very happy, and I don't know how others have done this week in FPL, but I'm sure everybody has had a good weekend like me.
Sam, we can confirm it was not a good weekend, was it?
Wasn't it?
No, Jules, as you well know. Although I had a lovely weekend. I went to France for the weekend. It was delightful. I just forgot that football existed for a bit after the Spurs comeback. But yeah, absolute stinker of an FPL week. Just one of those weeks. Again, the second week in a row, I've had an absolute nightmare. So I'm going to have to pull my finger out this week and do better.
You say pull your finger out this week and do better. It was a low scoring game week in general. So Jules is kind of the exception to the rule rather than the norm, I think. So if you are listening to this and you're in the same camp as myself and Sam and you got a score that started with 3, don't worry too much. The highest scorer of the
three.
Entire game week
did you say
was
three?
102.
Sorry, I don't think I heard. Did you say 3?
Yes, you know I did. Wow. Because I was also against you in another head-to-head, Jules.
Oh, yeah, it's a bad weekend for you. I didn't want to mention it, but yeah.
I'm trying to make everyone else feel better, unlike you, who's trying to make everyone else feel worse. As I was saying, the highest score of the week was 102, and that's quite normal to get people in the 100s, but that actually relied on a 25-point bench boost. So honestly, if you didn't have a great week, it's early in the season, park it and forget it. If you had a great week like Jules, by all means, ram it down your friend's throat exactly as he is. But it will come back to bite you, Julian Laurent. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm sure it is.
Sam, what went so wrong this week for you and so many other managers, do you think?
I think for me, partly it was the decision not to captain Haaland, which up until the deadline passed, I was fully on board with. And then the fear absolutely got me once the deadline had passed. And I was like, I don't know if I've done the right thing here. Have I let my Spurs goggles get in the way of what I should have done? And of course, they were playing at the same time, which made it worse, because at one point they were both blanking. For most of the game, actually, to be fair, they were both blanking. And I was thinking, I might get away with this. But then Haaland, how he didn't halt. To be honest, Kelly, I think we got a bit lucky, because the amount of chances that Haaland had, like, he could have had an absolute worldie.
Sam, he'd had 9 shots by the time he scored.
Yeah. And every time they went to that game, I was like, oh God, this is just painful to listen to when you don't captain him. And I think there are some weeks where it does make sense to try something a bit different. And last week was one of them, and it's not always going to pay off. But when you do go against the grain and it doesn't pay off, it does hurt, because of course the majority of managers will have captained Haaland. And even with that one goal return, that still had a massive impact on my rank. And then of course nobody else really did well. I knew it wasn't going to be the best week when Diaby scored and it got VAR'd out, and I was just like, this is a sign of where this game week is going. I mean, he did eventually get the assist, which was nice, and then I just had to rely on my Arsenal boys, which is fine this week, but I'm not doing that next week when they're playing against us.
Yeah, Son and Madison were captained by a combined 671,737 managers, only to see Haaland outscore both of those players combined score. A few other things that might have gone wrong for you. In fact, Jules, this probably went wrong for you. Ramsdale was benched in favour of Raya. Did you start Ramsdale?
No, I started Turner anyway, hoping that he would obviously not concede against Burnley. At the City Ground as well, he ended up conceding and Ramsdale didn't play. So for me, the big transfer this week is a goalkeeper anyway, because David Raya, I think, is going to keep his place for Arsenal. So no more Aaron Ramsdale for now. But yeah, it was tricky if you didn't have a good backup goalkeeper on your bench, for example, someone who didn't play, as well as Ramsdale, who you thought was going to start, that would have been a bit of a shock.
Okay, then other things that went wrong. Martinelli owners thought he'd scored, only to see it ruled out for VAR. And then, of course, he went off with an injury just 3 minutes later. Ben Chilwell was benched. I wasn't able to watch the Bournemouth-Chelsea game because I was tied up somewhere without a signal. And I came out and saw it was 0-0 and was like, wonderful. At least I've got some clean sheet points. No. A substitute Then he comes on and gets booked. And then Pochettino saying he plans to play Mudrik where Chilwell's been and return to a back four. All in all, everything that went wrong. Sam, at this point, should we just park it and move on?
Yeah, because we can't listen to him gloat anymore. Let's just move on. Let's talk about game week
six.
Did
I tell you how many points I got? Mine start with a five. You start with a three. Sam with a two or something like that. Mine with a five. I'm just saying.
Mine started with a three. I got 32.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. So Jules did well, as did a few people in our FPL pod mini league actually as well. Our leader though did only get a score also that started with a five. Piero John got 50 points. He's leading the way. A shout out though to Colm Hall, who got 71 points to go up to second. Jack Dalton's also climbed the league with 66. He's up to sixth now. Mark Jones is up to ninth. And Fever Pitch also moves up to 10th. Both of their scores started with a six. So almost double what myself and Sam got. Okay. Well, it's like, we're in this together. It's not very often we're in something like this together. So I'm going with it. Okay. Well, if like Sam and I, you do want to forget last week, we will swiftly move on. Though, unfortunately for these two, it's North London Derby this weekend. So there's going to be a bit more tension, I think, between you two. Sam, it's always tricky, isn't it? We've said it on this pod already this season. When two of the big teams that we're heavily invested in face off, two teams that have had brilliant form, what do we do when they play each other, as is the case between Arsenal and Spurs this weekend?
I mean, I think the way that they're both playing right now, you just play them. But they're normally quite high scoring as well. So if you've got attacking players from these two sides, I think you play them. I think the bigger conversation is with the defenders. If you've got a Saliba or a Gabriel, and you've got Udogie, or you've got, like I have, Van de Ven, Romero, those are the kind of conversations that you then have to have. And I guess you look at who's on your bench and think about whether they're more likely to return a clean sheet than they are. But I think with when it comes to the attackers, like, I'm just planning to just go all out with the attackers, play them all and see what comes out at the end of it.
Same approach for you, Jules?
Yes, definitely. I think there will be a lot of goals in this game on Sunday, and Maddison will be at the heart of everything Spurs do. We've said it, that this team is really built for him, even if he didn't return last weekend somehow. And same for Saka, especially without Martinelli. Trossard brings something different than Martinelli does, and I think the team relies even more on Saka, certainly in terms of taking on players and be at the start of the move that than Trossard can finish, as we saw at Everton and also against PSV Eindhoven. So yeah, start all the attacking players, and if you're not sure about your defenders, then if you have a better option, another option on the bench, you can always do that. Although I think I'll start Saliba because on set pieces, because also on a good day for Arsenal they might not concede anything, and Saliba can also return points like that. Even if that means Maddison, you know, would not return, of course. But you can't have everything, I guess.
Jules, what did you make of Arsenal in the Champions League? Obviously, firstly, congratulations, brilliant performance from them in midweek. But what did we learn in terms of who Mikel Arteta is likely to pick? Can it inform any of our decisions this weekend, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they were very impressive. You're right. David Raya starting again. I think for now, certainly, just closes the debate. He will start on Sunday, and I guess for the near future, that back four is not going to change. And Arteta, because of the way they started the game against PSV, was able to rotate and rest players very quickly. Some only played 55 minutes, others 65, which was good. Zinchenko, for example, Gabriel Jesus, you know, or even Saka came on quite early. Maybe the only surprise would be Kai Havertz or Fabio Vieira in midfield, although I think Kai Havertz yesterday showed in those kind of games, when you play against an attacking team like PSV are and Spurs are, there's a lot of similarities. Spurs are a much better team than PSV, but in the way PSV play, it's a lot like what Spurs are going to do at the Emirates on Sunday, because they're going to attack as well. And I think Kai Havertz, even if you maybe just on the eye like this, you don't seem too convinced, I thought it was very important on Wednesday night, how much he ran, everything that he did off the ball, especially. So that doesn't bring you points in FPL, but that's why I think he's going to start the game on Sunday. So the team is going to be, for me, exactly the same one that the one started against PSV.
Okay, so hopefully that's a sign of what Arteta is going to do in the North London Derby this weekend. It will help us out a little bit. Jules is normally pretty spot on when it comes to Arsenal, although I don't think you... Did you, be honest, Jules? We've asked you about Ramsdale and the concern about Rea. Did you expect him to lose his place as quickly as he has?
Not that early, I have to be honest. Yeah. And not on the back of an international break where, as you saw, because you were there, Kez, Ramsdale played for England, did well, yeah. And I don't think did so bad in the first 4 weeks of the season. But that's Arteta's decision. And even if he explained it by saying, well, it's no different than another position, it is a bit, to be fair. But these two games, two clean sheets now for Raya and Arsenal, so he must be happy. Let's see on Sunday.
The only reason I'm happy about it, I really like Aaron Ramsdale. I just like that it's giving you another headache, Jules, with your team.
One of my boys, you know. So, yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. Sam, as for Spurs, Son was the most popular transfer in ahead of the game against Sheffield United in game week 5. Of course, that meant that then he blanked because that's what's happened every week so far this season. He has scored in 3 of the last 5 meetings in the North London Derby. So what do managers do with him now? Because he still had a brilliant game, didn't he, last weekend?
He did. But Richarlison was absolutely game-changing when he came on in those last 20 minutes or so. He made such a difference to the way that Spurs played, with his energy, with the way that he kind of engaged, I guess, with the rest of the team. And I think, you know, when you look at Son's underlying numbers for game weeks 1-3-3 and then through 4 and 5, they are significantly different. So his XG went up by over 1 when he was playing in that number 9 position. His XGI is up significantly, so expected goals and expected goal involvement. His expected assist is better when he's out wide, but you'd expect that because that's where he's playing them from. But I think with the way that Richarlison played, I do have some concerns that he won't play Son in that number 9 anymore and that we'll see Richarlison back up there for game week 6. And if I'd brought in Son last week, I mean, that was one of the reasons why I didn't bring in Son last week, is that I had these real worries that we'll see some games where he plays in the number 9, some games where he plays out wide. And I think with what we saw from Richarlison in that game against Sheffield United, there's a good chance that we see Postecoglou play Richarlison from the start in that number 9 position at the weekend. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't come off early and Son moves into the middle. But I do think it's a concern if you are invested in the Spurs man now.
But Sam, if you are one of the managers that did bring him in last week, I guess the message, despite that blank last week and despite that performance of Richarlison, is not to panic just yet. Don't be knee-jerk.
100%. And I think with the other fixtures, the way that they are this weekend, you can afford to give yourself the time to think about what you do with Son and see where he plays against Arsenal. Obviously, it's then Liverpool the week after. So you've got a couple of weeks where we can see what Postecoglou does. I mean, given that Spurs have no other competitions to play in at the moment until the FA Cup starts in the new year, we are going to be fully focused on the league. And I would expect to see Son get a lot of minutes, of course, across those games. Now, whether they're in the position that you want him to be maybe is debatable. However, I think from an FPL perspective, if you bought in Son last week, you keep him for this week. We see what happens. Like you say, he's got a great record against Arsenal, so nothing to say that he can't return in this game on Sunday.
And just quickly, Sam, you mentioned there about the defence maybe being a different kind of conversation. Are you going to start Van de Ven?
Well, good question. I think it depends on what I decide to do about Chilwell, I guess. If Chilwell stays in my team, then maybe I do play Van de Ven. If I sell Chilwell, which is possible this week, then probably Van de Ven might take a seat on the bench for this one.
Okay, so your advice to managers listening would be, it kind of depends on the rest of your defence, really, because a lot of managers are going to have that Chilwell headache as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, De Zerbi gave us a bit of a headache last week, didn't he, when he benched Stupinian ahead of their European exploits. So it might end up being the case that you need your bench defender anyway. And I think if you've got somebody like Udogi, then probably you want to play him because he's so attacking and so involved in that attacking play that Spurs do, then starting him makes a lot more sense than maybe starting Van de Ven or Romero. But yeah, I think depending upon your other players, if you've got somebody that looks more likely to get a clean sheet, then you bench your Spurs defender for this week. Same applies to Arsenal.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Just a quick word actually on Brighton, because I just wanted to say before, if you are listening to this podcast, say on Friday, we are recording this before Brighton have played in the Europa League tonight. Jules, we've talked about Roberto De Zerbi's tendency to rotate 6 changes at Old Trafford last weekend. As I said, we don't know what he's going to do in their Europa League opener tonight, but that's got to be a concern now for us, hasn't it? The fact that even he changed his goalkeeper as well.
Yeah. I mean, we were on the back of an international break, which might be different because Estupinan, for example, came back quite late and so did the South American in the team. So that has to play a part. But like we said last week, we will find out this weekend and probably after match day 2 of all the European competitions, what managers do just before and just after. Do you rotate before? Do you rotate after? It also depends on who your next Premier League game is. Brighton have Bournemouth at home. at the weekend. So after 4 days after the Europa League game against AK Athens. So we will have to see. It's hard to tell now, but of course it will become a bit of a headache every week to think who is going to Pep play in Europe and play in the league, who's going to De Zerbi play in Europe, play in the league. Same with Arteta at some point, especially if they get an early qualification for the knockout round, then they will be able to maybe rest a few more players in Europe and then play the strongest team in the league. But if it's the other way around, then the headache will be even bigger.
I swear the problems were meant to come after the first round of European action. We weren't meant to get all of these headaches just before it. That's what it kind of feels like at the moment. Okay, I'm sure we'll talk about Brighton in a bit more depth in the coming weeks. But let's talk a bit more about Chelsea now, because we've mentioned Ben Chilwell a few times already. He's one problem we've got with Mauricio Pochettino's side, but also in attack. They were fourth for shots on target in game week 5 with 6. Only Manchester City, Spurs and Brighton had more. They had 14 shots across the game week, which only Man City, Spurs and Villa had more than. But they drew 0-0, Sam. What's going wrong?
They're not finishing their chances. And that's the problem, is when you look at them, in terms of goal conversion, they're third bottom. It's only Luton and Everton that have got a worse goal conversion rate in the league than Chelsea have this time around. So it is really difficult with Chelsea right now, because they're getting in all the right places, but a bit like last season, they're just not finishing those opportunities. They've got a couple of nice fixtures that follow this game against Villa with Fulham and Burnley. However, this game against Villa in game week 6, I think is really, really difficult for Chelsea, the way that the Villa are playing right now. Do I think a clean sheet stands for them? No, because Villa's attacking play has been so good. And that means Chelsea are going to have to score goals. And it's difficult to know who's going to start scoring them, isn't it? And if you're invested in Jackson and Sterling, it is a bit of a headache as to what to do with them right now.
I'm invested in Jackson. Jules is invested in Sterling. Neither of us in a very good position right now with that, are we, Jules?
No, and I felt a bit for Sterling again, a bit like Maddison, how Sterling didn't return at the weekend was quite incredible.
We keep saying this, don't we?
I know, but there's that free kick, you know, that I think hit the bat and the post at the same time. It's just the Cole Palmer chance. The ball from Cole Palmer should have been better for Sterling in the second half. Then Sterling could have scored. And then when the ball was over here, it was a good cross for Cole Palmer, who then should have scored, and Sterling would have got an assist. So I still think of all the Chelsea attackers, Sterling looks the sharpest one, the best one anyway. And if something happens, it would happen down or through him or with him, or he would be involved somehow. So with my luck, it would be the second assist that costs for nothing, as you mentioned, you know, as
your
always favorite. Mentioned.
That's your favorite thing about FPL, isn't it?
My petition is coming, FPL people, don't worry. I would just keep Nico Jackson, Sterling, even Mudryk, to be fair, I thought looked okay-ish in the game against Bournemouth. I would keep them for this game against Villa, although this is a tough game, but because, like Sam said, the next two games are better for Chelsea. At least give them those three games. And then if really they still haven't performed, haven't returned, then I think we can all let them go at the same time. And then suddenly, like, the drop in the Chelsea assets would be massive, because everybody will sell.
It's already dropping, Jules. All of them are. Jackson, Chilwell and Sterling, once again, are amongst the most popular transfers out. Jackson leads the way. Then it's Isak. Then it's Chilwell. Then a little bit further down is Raheem Sterling. So Sam, I kind of get it, particularly with Sterling, when there's so much competition in midfield. I do get why managers don't want to have him. I've only really kept Jackson because I couldn't decide which forward that I would like to have in there alongside Haaland.
Yeah. Personally, I think I'd sell both of them if I had them this time around, because I don't like the game against Aston Villa. I think Aston Villa, all right, they've got their European match to play on Thursday evening, but nonetheless, they are in far better form than Chelsea right now, and they will look at that game and think they can go to Stamford Bridge and get something. Jackson being the most transferred out again this week speaks volumes, I think, for how people feel about Chelsea and investing in the attack. There are a lot of good options that are kind of showing themselves in those forward spots, none less than Alvarez, of course, at Man City, who annoyingly Jules brought in last week. But Sterling in the middle is really difficult to keep hold of, because there are so many really nice options that are performing really well in midfield that keeping the faith with Sterling becomes more and more difficult with every blank that he brings to the table. So I can understand it. As a Chilwell owner, on the back of Pochettino's comments, I think I'm going to sell Chilwell this week, which I don't really necessarily want to do ahead of the fixtures that they've got in the coming weeks. But part of the reason for having Chilwell over maybe somebody like Gusto or Colwill is because he had that increased attacking threat. So he was worth the extra budget, whereas now he's just not worth the extra budget. And I keep longingly looking back at Mo Salah going, I'm really sorry that I sold you, Mo, and I need to find some money to bring him back in. So holding on to somebody from Chelsea that's just not returning, to me right now, doesn't make a lot of financial sense.
Yeah, one clean sheet from the opening five game weeks wasn't what we were expecting when we were talking about Chelsea's fixtures as well, was it? And the attacking returns haven't been there, which was a big reason for going for Chilwell.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, clean sheets have to be, if you're going to own somebody that's significantly more expensive than other players in their team, you have to know that the attacking returns potential is there above the clean sheet. Now, we're not getting either at the moment, so it just doesn't make any financial sense to hold him.
Jules, are you going to keep Sterling then?
Yeah, keep him this week. I've got faith. Raz, you know, Raz, I believe in Raz. Raz, I know you're listening. Don't let me down, bruv. Don't let me down. this game is tough. I give you that, although you asked them for Bridge. So that should be better. And then the next two, surely something good will come back. Nobody else apart from me is still supporting you, Raz. So please don't let me down.
I'm always supporting Raheem Sterling. He's one of those transfers that I really wanted to bring in this season.
Yeah, really, didn't really, but you it. Didn't. Yeah, exactly.
Didn't do it. So
yeah, yeah, you support him that much. Yeah, you left him home.
So on Nicholas Jackson, I've got him. As I said, the main reason I haven't got rid is because I can't quite work out where to go. What would you suggest to those managers who are selling him? Who is the best option to replace him at the moment?
I mean, if you haven't got the City double up top, I think Alvarez is the obvious choice, particularly with all the injuries that Manchester City have right now. Looks more and more likely that he's going to have to start Alvarez every week. And so far, he's been doing that. I think the trouble is that you've got other options. So like Ollie Watkins is in the most transferred out list this week. He's just ahead of Sterling for transfers out. Partly that's because probably of the Chelsea fixture this week, and we've not seen him score yet. However, the fixtures coming up for Aston Villa are so nice in the coming weeks that he's the sort of player that you could potentially go a bit early on, and it'll end up being a bit of a differential for you. So he's another one that I've been kind of looking at. And then there's Liverpool, who it's very hard for a lot of managers. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk lately about how you get back to Salah if you've sold him and you want to reinvest in Liverpool. I keep looking at Darwin and his underlying stats look nice. Oh. And I know, Jules, I know.
You have to let go.
Maybe not. If
how
you let go
times
Sterling,
can he be benched before you get the message?
Well, the thing is with him is he comes off the bench and he still looks like he might return. So a bit like Alvarez used to at Man City. Now, of course, it's a bit more expensive in terms of the budget. So you have to be a bit prepared for the fact that there's benching headaches. And I think last week we expected him to be benched, didn't we? Because coming back from international break, the long journey, maybe we don't see that happen in the coming weeks as much. But there are other assets in the forward category that I think you could go to. You know, you could go to Morris at Luton ahead of the double in game week 7.
It's almost like, you know, we're going to talk about Luton very shortly, Sam. But just pause that thought, because I wanted to talk to Jules about Alvarez as well as a replacement potentially for Jackson. The two top point scorers in FPL so far this season, Jules, are Haaland and then Alvarez. He's got 37 points already. He was your transfer in last week. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think he's Man City's best player this season. It's as simple as that. Better than Haaland, better than anybody else, really, better than Rodri even. He's just outstanding. And Sam is right. With all the injuries, we should be okay in terms of the Pep roulette for Alvarez, I think. And also, Pep will be benching his best player. So I don't think that will happen, certainly not this weekend against Forest. Then we'll see after. There's the League Cup coming and they have a big game. There will be the Champions League as well the following week. So it's non-stop. It's a bit relentless for them. But I just think the way Alvarez is playing now is undroppable. And also, the relationship that he has with Haaland, you saw it on the first City goal against West Ham Belgrade on Tuesday night when it was a 1-2 between Alvarez. And this time, Haaland was the provider and Alvarez had a lovely finish around the keeper. And I think more and more they're understanding together, a bit like what we saw with De Bruyne and Haaland last season. Alvarez is a very different player, but their combination is getting better and better. So I do think if you don't have Alvarez yet, you have the budget for him. He's right now in a top form, top spot.
Does it not concern you that he started in midweek?
Yes, because I was not too sure if he would. And then he scored two goals, and I'm thinking, okay, if you want to give him a rest before some big games coming up for City, like the Arsenal one in 2 weeks, then you do it against Forest. That's why I will be shaky a bit before getting the team news of the City game at the weekend against Forest.
Yeah, whenever you own a City player that isn't Erling Haaland, there's always those shakes, isn't there? Just before the team news comes out when you're like, please, please start. Alas, I went for Jackson over Alvarez a few weeks ago, which perhaps maybe I should have been a bit braver because my score would have looked a lot healthier. Sam, at this point, shall we gloss over the fact that you've got Vissa, who probably hasn't worked out very well for you as your second forward?
Still?
Yeah, I know. I just checked her team, Jules. So I was like, I wonder if she's still got him. Oh, she has. Yeah. As a Jackson owner, I really shouldn't be saying this.
I nearly sold him last week and then decided that I think I valued the extra transfer this week more than I did making that change last week, because I wasn't entirely sure, a bit like you, Kelly, I wasn't entirely sure where I'd go last week because I had that kind of like, well, I could go for another City player. I could have gone for Alvarez, but then I've got Haaland, Alvarez and Foden going into the game against West Ham, and I wasn't sure how heavily I wanted to be involved in that potential rotation nightmare that could have been. So I kind of thought, well, I'll give him one more week. The problem I have every week with him is that I look at the fixture and go, well, that looks okay. Could be something there. Like, you're looking at this week and
that's
go,
like me with Jackson.
I know. And this week I'm still the same. Like, I'm looking at the Brentford fixture going, I'm going to just keep you another week. I don't think I will keep him another week this week because I think I want to have a little bit of a mini wild card. I very, very nearly played my wild card this week.
Lots of people are, aren't they? I saw lots of like FPL, the kind of content creators that are out there that we all listen to, that we all kind of follow. And a lot of people have activated it this week. That to me felt, maybe it's because like you, I had two free transfers and I thought I could maybe take a -4 to do that kind of mini wildcard thing and make three. But I just, again, didn't know if it felt a little bit knee jerk.
I sat in a cafe eating an ice cream and was like, I'm going to hit my wildcard because I've just had enough. I've had enough of all of these players.
Sugar went to your head, sugar rush.
And then I was like, well, actually, I've got two free transfers this week. I could just mini wildcard. And probably by mini wildcarding, I give myself the players that I really want to get to on wildcard anyway, because I've still got quite a lot of money left in the bank from selling Salah a few weeks ago. So it felt a bit like I didn't necessarily need to do it this week. But I think if I'd have only had one transfer this week and had the team that, well, your team and my team are quite similar, Kel, the team that we've got.
The team that got 30 points.
Again. I would have been tempted to hit the wildcard button. But as it is, I think I can get away with a little mini wildcard, probably take a -4 this week, make three changes, get through the North London derby, and then think really carefully about who I want to keep hold of. Because some of the players I want to get rid of this week, or that I would get rid of on wildcard, I've got really nice fixtures this week. So selling them ahead of them just felt a little bit like I was reacting emotionally rather than sensibly.
Are you likely to bring in Alvarez? I'm just going to warn you, the reason I ask, he's the most transferred in.
And that is why I haven't brought him in so far. Because when curse of the most transferred in strikes again, then I always get a bit of a fear if I'm bringing in somebody that's the most transferred in because the curse is real this season. But I don't know. Mo Salah is my target. So finding a way to get Salah back is the priority.
I regret selling him, do you?
Yeah, but at the time it made sense because he was just doing okay and allowing the budget to be spread across the rest of the team made a lot more sense, except that I haven't spread the budget across the rest of my team. I've just left it sitting in the
same
bank.
Which, 3.6 million in my bank.
Yeah, so it actually doesn't make any sense not to have Salah at this point. So I think for me right now, I'm looking at my team. I'm looking at some of the assets that I've stayed quite loyal to. Bruno Fernandes, I'm looking at you. And thinking, I'd rather change that. I want to change my goalkeeper. Desperately want to change my goalkeeper. I've got a Chilwell-shaped headache. This is up there as a problematic pick right now. But then there are so many other good things about my team. I probably, as much as I want Alvarez this week, I've got Foden, I've got Haaland. That's probably enough City. Now, that is Nottingham Forest, and they did win that game 6-0 last year. And Alvarez did get a brace in it.
I love it. I said it on the pod last week, Jules. When Sam does a really long answer like that, yeah. we kind of get the inner yeah. workings of her brain where she really isn't sure.
Yeah, sometimes she doesn't even know what she just said as well, and she's posing, and then she was... I think Alvarez, she's going to bring Alvarez in.
I think she will as well. Yeah, she wants the city to travel up, don't you, Sam?
Well, no, you see, because I do
or
what
do you
I
want
say
Edison?
Well, that's also potential. I do what I say, Jules. Like, I don't come on here and say I'm going to Captain Harlan and Captain Madison.
Oh, no, I did say that there was a possibility. Yeah, I did say. I did say.
Sam, every time I ask him about his captaincy or anything like that, I do also always
caveat
it. Doesn't
ever tell the truth.
Well, no, I always say it now, don't I? With Jules, what are you going to do? Which you probably won't end up doing.
So not true.
Okay, another team to talk about right now. And Sam writes down pointers of what she thinks we should talk about in this script. And this is what it says on my sheet. Luton, in brackets, yes, I know. But Sam, I think it's justified talking about them. We spoke about them on the fantasy show last week, myself and Gianni Battice. Now, they are top of the fixture ticker for the next 2 weeks. And they have a nice game at home to Wolves. And then, of course, they have a double in game week 7. So they welcome Wolves to Kenilworth Road in game week 6. Then it's Everton away and Burnley at home. Both of those two fixtures coming in game week 7. Any interest, Jules? As you're the expert at the moment on this pod.
Oh, Carlton Morris, every day of the week. He's going to come, not this week because, like I said, I need to get a goalkeeper in, but certainly for the double game week. I mean, you take Morris, he's going to start both games unless like, he gets injured, but let's hope for him that doesn't happen. And then he's returned in 2 of his 4 Premier League games this season so far. So I think Luton will be going for it in those 2 games, Wolves as well in those 3 games coming up. And I think if they do, then they might get something for Morris. And then if you've brought him in, he's owned by 2% of the managers so far. He costs 5.5 million. And I really think that it sounds a bit like a gamble, and it certainly is. It's not someone that you would bring in just like this. But I think it's really worth it, especially for the double game week. So maybe not this week, if you can't really do it or if you've got other priorities. Half of your team like Sam, but certainly next week before the double game week, then I think definitely Carlton Morris is the name.
Wow.
I didn't expect that to be such an emphatic answer. Did you, Sam?
100%.
No, all of what Jules has just said there makes total sense, particularly if maybe you're an owner of Archer like myself. Jules, is that the transfer you're going to do actually, Archer to Morris?
Exactly. Yeah. You read my mind.
Yeah, it's something that I've thought about as well. And it does make a lot of sense, doesn't it, Sam? Do you understand it?
It does, yeah. I mean, he's had 10 attempts on goal so far. That's reasonable. 11 forwards in the game have managed more than that, including my buddy Darwin Nunes, who's actually had less than half the game time and had 11. But you have to look at playing the fixtures in some ways. So when you've got a double game week, how heavily do you want to invest in the teams that have got the double? Because you obviously want to as an FPL manager, because it's double the minutes, double the potential for returns. But it is Luton and they've not kept a clean sheet so far this season. So investing in the defence looks difficult. So then, of course, you look to the forward players. And the only one that you're really kind of going to be interested in is Morris. He's got 2 attacking returns so far. That's most across the Luton team. Mads Andersen and Jacob Brown have each got 1 each. So if you really want to go rogue, you could go with one of them. But I don't think you do. I don't think you want to take up those all-important spots with a Luton player. Morris is the third forward, though. There's not a huge amount of choice in that third forward spot. You've obviously, like you've mentioned, you've got Archer, you've got João Pedro, if you've still got him. So you could go there. But we do have to remember that only Everton have got a worse goal conversion rate than Luton. So don't expect to get a hat trick over the course of that double game week. I don't think you will.
That's a bit mean.
Well, really, Jules, how much are you expecting him to get out of those 2 games? Because Luton will look at these matches, as will Wolves, Everton and Burnley, and go, they're must win. They're must win matches for us all, because that's the end of the league table that we're at. So I don't expect them to be hugely high scoring.
No, you're right. But like you always say, double game week means 4 points. Also already.
Yes.
Compared to a player.
Can I just remind you at this point of Emmanuel Dennis?
Or Sadio Mane.
Yeah, or Sadio Mane. But Emmanuel Dennis is the one that really stands out to me, because for obvious reasons with him being Watford. But also, he was like a budget forward, and we thought, yeah, he's the Watford's main attacking threat. It doesn't matter that they're not doing so well. I was at that game and I watched him get sent off. Now, I'm not saying Carlton Morris is going to do the same, but Sam,
No, there's always a risk,
that,
of course.
But and we saw that with Foster, right? Who's got the other double game week. He's going to miss out because he got sent off in game week 5.
Poor,
so
poor Gianni tipped him on the fantasy show last week as being a differential for game week 7.
Really nightmare. Yeah, it is a nightmare. So it is something to be wary of. And I think, you know, you have to kind of consider, and I guess the good thing for a lot of FPL managers, including Jules, who's going to invest in Morris, is that you're planning to play your wild card probably not that long after this double game week. So you can take a bit of a punt on Morris. You can bring him in for the double. You could go early and bring him in this week ahead of the game against Wolves, and then you sell him on your wild card. The bigger issue that I have with investing heavily in Luton is who goes to the bench to play Morris, because that's problematic when you've got a really nice 5 in midfield, and then Jules is going to have a front 3 that's got Haaland and Alvarez and Morris. Who are you benching across that front 8?
I'll cross that bridge, you know, when I get to the bridge.
Sam, we know that we're training him to think far ahead, but unfortunately while he's doing well at the moment, he's only thinking in the here and now.
I know, and it was Champions League this week, you know, it was super busy week, but I will get there eventually and cross that bridge.
Because the thing for me is, if I have Morris in my team, I'm going to have to bench boost it, and I don't know if I want to bench boost for a Luton player right now with the form that they're in.
Okay, so Carlton Morris is the only name from Luton that's been mentioned. Do I need to ask if there's anyone else? Jules, I'm guessing you're just fully aboard the Morris train and you're not going to be making any other transfers from Rob Edwards' side. Nope. No. Okay, that was simple. Sam, you?
I mean, I've got Kabore in my team already.
Me too. He hasn't come off my bench once.
No, he's not come off mine. He's been third bench every week.
In fact, I think he might have come off by default this week. Yes, he did, and he got 2 points. So I'd like to welcome him to my team. He got more points than Ben Chilwell.
Hey, you see? Don't badmouth him.
Yeah, I mean, I've got him as well. I'll probably play him in game week 7, but...
But you wouldn't bring him in if you didn't already have him, is what you're saying?
No, I mean, I think...
Oh, okay. No,
I wouldn't. I mean, I've got Van de Ven, so he's got Liverpool. I think Salah and Liverpool score against Spurs, so I'll probably just move Van de Ven to the bench and play Kabore, which feels utterly ridiculous. However, he's got a double game week. It's two nice fixtures. Maybe it's they're tight. Maybe there's a clean sheet in one of them. And maybe you get some attacking returns. Maybe I'm also living in Cloud Cookie Land, but I think if you've got a double game week player, you play him.
I might play him this week, Kabore, at home to Wolves, just to give me another week to sort out my Ben Chilwell situation. I might. I might also take a -4 and sort the Ben Chilwell situation out and not play a Luton player. We'll have to wait and see. Okay, time to move on to differential of the week. This is a welcome addition to this podcast. Well, I mean, maybe the listeners don't agree, but from our point of view, it's been brilliant. And last week, someone actually tweeted me to say, didn't Nadum pick out James Ward-Prowse as a differential? 7 points for his goal and minutes played points. Another differential success. Jules Szoboszlai, 2 points, but he did have 2 attempts on goal, 1 from inside the box, and he created a chance. He did look really threatening. And Sam went for Luka Dina, who got 5 points, getting an assist. So once again, brilliant from all of you. And once again, there's a reason why I'm not giving my differential each week, because I would definitely let the side down. Jules, who are you going for this week?
I'm going for Otton Edouard at Crystal Palace. I'm Paris born and bred, of course. It has to be mentioned.
I don't know if you'd mentioned that before.
No, maybe not. But back-to-back returns for him. Goals. He scored in the League Cup as well for Palace, albeit against Plymouth. But he's doing really well. And I think Fulham is the game they have this weekend, which I think is a good fixture, where Palace... in this kind of still not full attacking style, let's be honest, it's Roy Hodgson's team, you know, even if he was not on the bench of the weekend.
They have been better attacking.
But yeah,
they
have been better. Their underlying stats are better. And I think Edouard looks a bit more clinical than he was maybe the last couple of years, where at times he had chances and could not finish them. This time, he looks better. He looks sharp. He's in confidence after scoring 3 in the last 3 games. So yeah, I really fancy him. He's owned by 4.6% of the managers, so really good differential. And at 5.6 million, I think he's a really decent price too.
Yeah, I like that one. A reminder of differentials under 10% owned. Come on then, Sam, who are you offering up?
I annoyingly really like Jules's this week. I'm going for an old favourite of yours, Kelly, this week. I'm going for Callum Wilson. Yeah, so he has now scored 3 goals so far this campaign, despite only playing for 186 minutes. And obviously he came off the bench for the game against AC Milan in midweek. I'm expecting that to mean that we see the reverse of that at the weekend and he'll get the nod. He's owned by 5.4% of managers right now. And I think he will be leading the line instead of Isak against Sheffield United at the weekend. So I think when you consider that Sheffield United have been poor defensively, and I think their confidence will take a knock after what Spurs did at the back end of that game in game week 5, Callum Wilson, it's going to cost you 7.8 million, but I think he's a really good option for this week. He's one I really wish I had for game week 6.
Goes back to our conversation before about potential replacements for Jackson. And maybe if you've got the funds to go from Visser to Wilson as well. I don't know who would do that, Sam, but that's potentially a good looking transfer, isn't it? Either of those.
Yeah, it has been in my mind this week that as soon as I saw that he wasn't starting in the Champions League, I was like, oh, maybe I just take a little punt.
But then equally, are you not like, I don't know if I can really deal with the roller coaster. We've got the Pep roller coaster. Do I really want to have to worry each week? That, mind you, I'm probably going to bring in Alvarez. So what difference does it make? Whoever I bring in, you're going to worry about. And I guess also I said it on the pod the other week, 8 teams being in Europe this year feels incredibly high and does make it harder for us in FPL, doesn't it?
Yeah, because everybody's got potential to be rotated across those. The only ones that you haven't really are the ones that don't play European football. And of those, there's kind of a scale of the ones that you'd want to invest highly in, Spurs being the most attractive right now because they're in nothing else and they're playing quite well. So you've got teams like Chelsea, but it's really hard to stay invested in them. We've spoken about them already. So I think sometimes you just have to take a bit of a punt, risk the potential rotation. And I think with somebody like Callum Wilson, even if Eddie Howe surprises me and starts Isak at the weekend, Callum Wilson comes off the bench in that one and could easily return against a tired Sheffield United defence.
Does feel like every time he comes off the bench, he's got a bit of a point to prove, doesn't it, Callum Wilson? Mm-hmm. Every time he comes on, he's like, you won't be benching me again. And even if you do, I'm going to come on and score.
Yeah.
Okay, on to captaincy then. Now, last week, we had a real debate about the captaincy. We know that if you stuck with Haaland, it went well. If you went elsewhere, namely Son or Madison, it didn't go so well. You two both fell into that category, but I completely understand. And I wanted really to captain Madison. Jules, do you feel like last week is going to have scarred enough people now that there's going to be a bit more hesitancy to go away from Haaland going forward?
Yes. And I mean, especially in a game like this, Forest at the Etihad, I mean, I know he's missing chances and he did again against Red Star Belgrade, by the way. He was really not as clinical as he was last season. And we said that he misses chances, maybe more than usual for the moment. He still has 7 in 7. So it's just, or 7 in 8 now. It's just crazy. So like Sam said, I think the non-Haaland captained teams in game week 5 got away with it because he could easily have had a hat-trick and that would have hurt massively. He didn't in the end. Just at one late goal and he almost didn't return, to be fair. I expect him to score at least one, if not 2 or 3 against Forest. So for me, there's not as much as a debate this weekend over captaincy because it has to be Haaland.
Yeah, against Nottingham Forest, Sam, it's hard to look elsewhere, isn't it?
What about Alvarez, Jules? You've got him. Same game, better form.
Yeah. You're right. That's a good point too. I don't know. It feels still strange not to go with Haaland for a home game against Nottingham Forest, to be fair. But yeah, maybe. Now you've like put stuff in my head. I'm going to like, oh man, what about Alvarez?
But okay then, Sam, I'll change the question.
Haaland's on penalties, for example, which could be, you know, big difference.
And does it, so basically, do we have to captain someone from City this week? Are you going to be tempted by Foden or are you just going to go with Haaland?
No, I mean, I'm going to captain Haaland this week. I think the City fixture is the best one on paper this week. I think, you know, when you look at the other teams that you would potentially captain somebody from, obviously Arsenal and Spurs play each other, so they're both out. Can't trust what's going to necessarily happen with Chelsea right now, and they've got a difficult fixture against Aston Villa. The Liverpool assets, maybe Salah's in the conversation. It's a home game against West Ham, so you could potentially go there, but I don't think you're going to when Haaland's got Nottingham Forest. I don't think there's another option apart from Alvarez. He's the only other player in the game this week that I think you could captain and see a bigger haul than you'll get from Haaland this weekend.
But he is the most transferred in.
But just he is the most transferred in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. However, I'm probably going to bring him in. I'm not going to captain him. I'm going to captain Haaland, though. I'm not that bold. Okay, just, I think you guys have specified who your transfers are going to be, but we'll just round off by confirming them. So Jules, you're going to be changing your goalkeeper.
Yeah, and I'm thinking Emi Martinez, maybe. This is a Chelsea tie, but we said after that, the fixtures look good for Villa. So Martinez, I like Nick Pope, and I think the game that he had against Milan, which was really good, will boost his confidence, because so far this season, he maybe has not been that great against Brighton. Remember, he made a few mistakes.
Yeah.
So Pope or Martinez, I think, would be instead of Ramsden.
Sam, quickly, who would you go for if you were changing your goalkeeper? I know it's something you're considering doing.
It's something I think about doing on a daily basis. I do still really like the Edison pick. I really like Alisson if you've got a little bit more budget. If you don't have a Spurs defender, I think Vicario is okay, but the next two fixtures are tough. But Martinez, I think, is the obvious choice for long-term security of starts and nice fixtures.
Okay, so Jules, just the one transfer for you this week?
Yeah.
Sam, what about you? Chilwell. Well, it sounds like there could be quite a few transfers happening here. I almost wouldn't be surprised if you activated your wild card, but unlike Jules, I think you probably would have hinted it a bit more on this pod if you were.
So I did honestly think really hard about it on Monday evening, and I nearly did it. I created a whole wild card team and was like, I quite like it. And then I thought it's just a waste of two transfers, so I'm going to hold it and wait for to get through this week. I think I'm almost definitely going to do Chilwell to Botman. I think that makes a lot of sense.
I think he's the second most transferred in, just a warning.
That's all right. As long as he doesn't go top, then we're okay. There's also Trippier as well that is kind of flirting with my attention right now. He could potentially come in instead of Botman because I've got the money to upgrade Chilwell to him. So, but Chilwell will go this week. The question then comes with, what do I do with my other free transfer, and do I take a minus four? So I do quite like the idea of doing Bruno Fernandes to Salah this week. I also quite like the idea of changing Wisser out for somebody like Alvarez, but the most transferred in thing gets me a little bit. I do really want to take a punt on Callum Wilson as well. There probably will be multiple transfers that happen in this team, but definitely a Newcastle defender in for Chilwell. That's the one thing I'm set on.
I almost feel like you're going to have the fantasy website open on multiple tabs and just doing multiple versions of your team a bit.
Yeah, like. I've got like multiple draft pictures in my phone right now with multiple different changes. It looks ridiculous.
For the benefit of the listener there, Sam did hold her phone up to show that that is exactly the case at the moment. She has multiple drafts going. Okay, well, the best of luck making those changes, Sam. I've got similar headaches and similar conundrums and probably will be taking a minus four to make three transfers this weekend to try and sort out this team and stop the slide against Julian Laron, because he is now top of the mini league that the three of us have together. And every year he finishes bottom, he's going to keep that going.
You didn't.
It's good to be top.
It's been enough. I've had enough of you this morning. Let's go. Right. A reminder that Off the Bench is back on Monday. That is a Julian Laron free zone. So do make sure you join Lee and Harry. He'll take you through all of the game week six at Talking Points. A reminder, if you haven't joined our FPL Pod Mini League, the code is IB3WLK. The Fantasy Show is back on Friday. I'll be joined by Az in the studio, who I know has also got plenty of conundrums ahead of the deadline. The deadline, of course, this week, a little bit later. It's 1:30 on Saturday afternoon, ahead of Crystal Palace versus Fulham, Luton versus Wolves, and Manchester City versus Forest. They all kick off at 3 p.m. There is no Friday night game and there is no early game on Saturday either. So you've got a little bit more time, which, Sam, isn't always the best thing, actually, is it?
No, just more time for me to panic about my transfers, isn't it?
Same over here as well. Well, Jules, I'd say it's been a pleasure, but it's been
always a pleasure, Kez. You can come back on my show anytime. It's sort of good.
Whoa. That note, guys, if you've winners, got to the end of this, well done on surviving 45 minutes or so of Jules. It's
could
been
have
painful.
Been worse. Could have been worse, trust me.
Best of luck this game week. Let's all hope we beat him. Bye.